Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, today. Hello, everyone, today. We're live today on Author Larry Toombs Gospel Radio Show. We have Mark W. Yancey from Kansas City, Missouri, today. And he is an incredible guest. Incredible guest that will tell you all about God. He's been a Christian very long time. He's been a Christian very long time. He was raised in Lutheran church school system. And he's a lifelong Christian follower of Christ. And Mark here attended school in the 90s. He attended school in the 90s for a couple of years at a prestigious private university before dropping out without, you know, trying life without God for many years, you know. You know, he like many people, had, you know, had turned his back on God in exchange for the easy and less stressful life. You know, it didn't work out. It didn't work out. So Mark turned his life to God when he heard the sweet sound of the Holy Spirit touch Mark. And Mark, we're no go no longer further. How you doing today, Mark? Mark Yancey, how you doing today?
I'm doing fantastic, Larry. Let me just first start by saying what a privilege and an honor it is to make it on your show. I literally just cruising the internet and answering some emails, and an opportunity popped up, and it was for your show, and I heard about you before, and I just Holy Spirit said something to me, and I reached out to you, and we made this happen. A little bit about me. I'm originally from the Midwest, but I lived in Florida for many, many years, over 20 years in Florida. I'm in my late 40s right now. I came to know the Lord in my Christian upbringing. I was actually born into a Christian family and baptized the day I was born. I have a twin brother. His name is Matthew. So we're Matt and Mark, and so we were named after the first two books of the gospel. So that kind of like started my journey from the get-go. In the Bible, it says, I knew you before you were in your mother's womb. I firmly believe that God gives each of us purpose and has thought about us intimately, each one of us, before the beginning of time, just like the Bible says, and that we're each called and to glorify him in the fashion that he provides for us. My Christian upbringing, I was raised as in a Lutheran home. What that means, it's a little bit like Catholicism, but I grew up in Peoria, Illinois. I don't know if your audience is familiar. I'm pretty sure it's really close to St. Louis, where you're out of. But I grew up there, and it was part of a church program. The deal was, like, if you went to the school, you had to go to church and become a member of the what they call the LCMS, Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. And as long as you maintained your attendance and attended faithfully, they would pay for your tuition. So I was at the time, I really didn't think much of it because I thought, I was like, oh, like most kids, you're kind of like, you're a little bit pushed into it, a little coerced into it, but then once you get into the Word, it becomes part of your being, whether you like it or not. Like the Bible says, when you raise a child up in the ways of God, when he becomes an adult, they won't turn from them. So that's kind of what happened. I went to a Christian grade school, started going to public school in Peoria, and that my parents, so a little bit of background, my parents were divorced, married and divorced several times. It's a long story, and I'm currently working on writing all the other parts of it and connecting all the dots. You know, everybody has a story to tell. But if I told you my father was married 9 times, twice to my mother, it would sound a little bit crazy, but that's what happened. So I never really had the example of a successful marriage in my life, but what I did have was the example of the church. And even through all of the craziness of the world and the church was still made to be important in my household, in my family. And so that's kind of where the journey starts. Parents got divorced when I was two. My mother remarried, and so having a non-conventional family, my stepfather, my mother met another man. They were both happened to be Vietnam vets as well. Kind of had some PTSD issues that went along with that. And so what happens when brokenness in the family happens is that it's not fair on anybody, mom, dad, or the kids. So So things are introduced into the home from brokenness, and I just call it sin. So in the 80s, remember that there was a show, the ABC After School Special, when you would get home and watch it, and it would be like, it was like every single episode had some sort of social issue. Well, my family was like a poster family, but that's okay because we're not alone, because it's the same story for everybody. You know, it's an amazing thing to come from a family that has a successful marriage these days.
Yes, you're right. You're exactly right. The structure of a home is a determining factor. You're exactly right about that. So now, Mark, do you have any kids? Have any children?
I have never been married. Never had any kids. Now, there's some reasons for that, I think. I ended up... let's just say I was a bartender for about 18 years. So I led that crazy, fun party lifestyle. I had dropped out of college. I successfully completed high school in Florida and went to a really excellent high school in South Florida in Fort Lauderdale when my parents got remarried for the second time. And that's a whole other story. But there's many chapters, and I've met many people. The culture shock moving from the Midwest, more of a conservative setting to the Southeast, to Florida, when I went to my first dances at school in high school, I met Caribbean girls for the first time. And that kind of really blew me away with all the way the dancing and everything. And because, you know, coming up conservative, we're, you know, having someone put it on you is a little bit like, what's going on? I'm at the public school now. I'm not in a Christian school anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it was kind of like, oh, I was blown away. It's like, wow, Florida was it. And then add the sunshine. Yeah. And I really enjoyed Florida. I graduated and took a football scholarship, a small scholarship to Concordia University in Nebraska. And I figured if I'm going to be doing anything, I wanted to be a teacher. And I was getting into speech pathology and special education. I wanted to help. During that experience, I did a small internship at a mental health hospital in Nebraska, and ended up really enjoying mental health. I started working as a tech and working in the psych industry. And let me tell you, if you ever thought that you had issues, go work with those less fortunate to have their capacities, and you'll find out that we have a lot to be grateful for, you know, as believers and as people. I moved back to Fort Lauderdale chasing a girl. I ended up dropping out of college and started working at another hospital in Fort Lauderdale. Worked with all kinds of high-functioning, low-functioning drug units, psychiatric patients, learning how to caretake for them, you know, helping people not harm themselves, having, you name it, chairs thrown at you and obscenities and hurled at you, just trying to get people safe and in their right mind. But, you know, like I said, you realize through working in those types of environments and working with people that, hey, my issues aren't that bad. I should be more thankful. Now, the story turns here. I found a job at a nightclub. I got stressed out. I started bouncing at a nightclub and quit the psych field. This is in my early 20s. And, boy, the devil got a hold of me. I completely had walked away. I didn't think anything of it. I still felt like, oh, I'm blessed. I was a pluralized Christian. I was a pagan Christian. You know, I was still promoting that I was a Christian, but I wasn't living right. I was giving lip service to God, you know.
Yeah.
And that continued for a long time. I wasn't an alcoholic or dabbled with drugs at that time, but once I started in the nightclubs, it slowly creeped its way into my life and became normal. And it was nothing to be hedonistic and pursue women and the party and the drink and the drugs. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I ended up in Orlando, Florida, working for, of all people, one of the Backstreet Boys, if you remember that band.
I remember that. I really do. I remember those.
I worked for Backstreet Boys. Some prominent lawyers. That. Yeah. I think it was Tell Me Why. That was their song.
Yeah.
I'm trying
to
tell you why. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ended up working for those folks and worked all sorts of bottle club type venues, our hip hop shows, hair shows, runway shows, you name it, we did it. And wrestling shows, you name it. I ended up working for Hard Rock Cafe for about the nightclubs. I did over a decade in downtown Orlando. Met tons of people, Shaq and Horace Grant and Charles Barkley and all these hip-hop artists and all these people. If I were to name them and go down the line, it would be people would be like, wow, wow, wow. But what I learned is that they're just people. They're just like you and me, and they have the same wants, hopes, needs, and desires for connectivity that we do. They just throw up things in front of it, like booze or womanizing or their own self as an idol, you know.
Yeah.
So the walls came crumbling down around, started I was opening bars and nightclubs and restaurants and did all of that, but it wasn't until I got my first run-in with the law when I got arrested and spent time in jail that I really, it woke me up, you know, like any amount of time that anybody spends locked or incarcerated is supposed to do that. It's supposed to be jarring. I understand you have some experience with that world as well. And I decided, you know, I was court ordered to go through the rooms and I had failed my probation. I couldn't stop, you know, I couldn't stop getting high. I couldn't stop drinking. I wasn't submitting to Jesus. You go through the rooms and the 12-step programs, and here I was running those programs, and now I'm in them, you know.
Yeah.
And I hit my bottom, and it still wasn't even low enough to get me to stop. I didn't think that I had a problem. And so it was a gradual thing. I got through being in trouble, got my life back together, got my car back, got my wheels back, got all done paying all the fines and everything. And I was still drinking, still carrying on. I met a girl when I was working for this company. The first woman, I used to have a rule, I'd never date anybody I work with. It's the first one, and it lasted almost a decade. During that relationship, I kept on promising the Lord I was going to marry her, promising the Lord, and I didn't. And I was like treating God like he's Santa God, you know, like if you get me out of this trouble, God, then next time I'll do this, and then next time I'll be better.
Yeah,
you
do better.
And
you do better, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, and it never worked. One night, this girl was everything to me, and I didn't realize that I was worshiping her. And that's what it was really happening. I wasn't worshiping God. I was worshiping myself, and I was idolizing her because of her beauty and what she could do and how she could make me feel and all these things. And so one night, she kept on bringing people over, and I had opened up a steakhouse in south of Daytona Beach, and I mean, I wrote the menu, I hired all the people. I was the general manager. I was working 60 hours a week and still trying to carry on the party lifestyle. And I woke up in the middle of the night, and there was people in my house. And I grabbed my gun, and I was blackout drunk, and I ended up pointing it at my friend. And I didn't know what happened. And they talked me down. Praise God, they talked me down. Because I wasn't there. It wasn't me that was there. I had blacked out, and now that I know about possession and things like that, that demonology and things like that, what alcohol can do to people is when you're not in your body, you allow other spiritual beings and things to come in and have free will against you.
That's true.
So that next morning, I woke up and she had confronted me, and she was gone within a week, and my world fell apart all over that. But praise God, nobody got hurt that time.
Right. Yeah, that was good. That was a blessing. That was a blessing.
That was 2016.
2016. That's right. In 2016, Mark, now let's talk about you had a chance to go to ministry school. Is that correct?
Yes, I just recently, February, finished my degree in Christian studies with an emphasis in worship and worship leadership. So what that means is I am equipped right now to serve in pretty much any SBC or independent church in the United States in a variety of capacities. Like I can help with service, I can help with counseling, I can help administer sacraments and things like that, and I can help plan services. When I decided to, and I set a born-on date. I got born again as an adult October 1st, 2017. I decided I needed something to do. I was like, I'm going to go back to school. And it took me a better part of 3 years to finish. And I never got good grades in coming up. But this is the one thing, sure enough, I got a better than a B average. I did better than school than I ever thought I could do, and it's finished and done. It cost me a little bit of money, like I'm going to be paying it, but there's no value I can place on what it's going to do for the glorification of Christ down the road, you know, and for God.
Yep.
So it's the most important thing we can do is witness to one another and to preach the gospel.
It is. Now, exactly, it is. Now, you're exactly right. There's no price you can put on, you know, anything that you do for God, anything that you know you are better, further education from God, anything you reach out to do for God, there's no price that you can put on that. And now let's talk about, and you already discussed it, you've already mentioned it, about the your bartending and you admitted that you blacked out. You already admitted that. But now let's talk about the time the sweet Holy Spirit voice came and spoke to you.
Oh. So after we broke up, that relationship had finished. What was shocking was that after 9 years, I had asked her already to marry me a few times in conversation, and she said that she had never wanted to be married. But she left me and got married. So it crushed me.
Mm.
It was one of those things. Oh. And it was shocking. And I was put on as a full blast on the interwebs, as they say. And my friends were like, whoa, whoa. So I was drinking heavy. I had just opened that steakhouse just south of Daytona, and it was doing good, and I was the boss, and my partner was even, hey, man, we got our own booze. We can drink our own stuff, so we bring in our own. And I was drinking about a handle of vodka every couple of days. I got up to, I was drinking about 12 to 18 beers a night, no problem, smoking cigarettes good. And I was crying out on my front porch. I would sit on my front porch with the cooler and with smokes and just sit there, maybe some other stuff, and just sit there. And I was crying out. I didn't realize I was just crying out, and I was crying to the Lord. I was like, why? You know, why? You know, I just wanted to know why. Like, what's, why am I, why does this hurt so much? And then I said, well, I'm going to feel this. I want to feel this then. And in the middle of my drunken stupor, I heard a phrase, and it was in my thoughts. It was the Holy Spirit talking to me, is what I come to this conclusion. And it said, I will take it if you give it to me. I will take it. And I realized I stopped what I was doing at that moment, and it was just striking. And I felt this peace come over me, the shalom, the perfect peace. And I knew that he has a plan for me, and he's telling me right now, I got you. Don't worry. And so I set that born-on date of October 1st, 2017. And the Bible says, he who believes and is baptized will be saved, in John 3. And it's talking about being born again. I had the born-again experience. And so I decided to get baptized. And when I moved back up to the Midwest, because both my mother lives in Peoria and my father lives over here in Kansas City, and I want to honor my parents. They're both getting older and both been in and out sick with COVID-related and now with cancer with who knows. And pray for my father today, too. He just had an angioplasty today. So, you know, I don't know anybody who hasn't been affected with that craziness. You know what I mean?
Right.
But I moved back here to the Midwest, and I joined the church. And I went to this Baptist church, and the pastor met me at the door. And it was, I knew right away, the pastor, he asked me, he's like, are you saved? I said, yes, sir, I'm born again. It's the first words that we met each other at the door with. And he's like, well, hallelujah, come on into church. A week later, I got baptized as an adult. And, I haven't really looked back. I just wanted to have that experience and to follow the word of God. It's infallible. It's perfect. So if Jesus says it, I believe it. And that's all you got to know.
Right. That's everything. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Now, I know, other than the Word of God and when you get a chance to minister, are there any more projects that you are working on that you would like to know the people to know about? Any projects you're working on?
Well, I play guitar and sing. Right now I'm just trying to hone some of my skills, I'm interested in writing for folks, proofing for folks, and content, helping to create Christian content for the future of our kids. And I think we're so saturated with such worldly craziness, it's oversaturated. Our culture, like the creativity in our culture, has been stunted because everybody's so over-sensationalized and over-sexualized. And we need to get back to the meat of the Bible, the food that is available in the Bible. And I'm interested in helping lead not just non-believers to Christ, but the pluralized Christian, the lukewarm Christian, the pagan Christian, those folks who maybe have fallen asleep in their faith, because I believe we're in the end times and that the hour's close. So we have a major responsibility to get the word out and to not waver in our faith and to call it like Jesus sees it, not the way that we see it. So what I'm working on, trying to get to work. I'm currently a bug man. That's what I do for a living, to pay the bills.
Well, it pays the bills.
It does. And in I won't even name drop because then but after the show, I'll give you some recommendations. Maybe we can talk and get together. I've got some help for you coming.
Okay.
On that, as far as business-wise, I'm just excited to know you, Larry. Your story is inspiring me to get busy and to take a chance.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because if you can and I can do it.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead, Mark.
Oh, no, go ahead.
You can do it. I can do it. It can be done. That's what you're saying. I was reading here. The most of people's, you know, some your influences online, many notable street pastors, you know.
Oh, street preachers. Yeah.
Yeah, street preachers.
Oh. So I'll tell you, before all of that, one of the difference makers is hearing the word and getting into the word every day. And that's a difficult thing for people to do, is to read the Bible, right? I heard a statistic once, to Todd Friel out of Atlanta. He said that about only 6 or 7% of practicing or proclaiming Christians understand the biblical narrative. That's a really low amount of people that understand how the Bible fits together and how it produces our salvation. So I think we have a big job to do with, quote-unquote, churched folks. You know what I mean? People can be churched all they want, but if they don't have relationship with the living God, then you can know Jesus all you want. The devil knows Jesus, but what do you believe about Jesus? Who do you believe him to be, you know?
And, yeah.
So that's what I'm trying to get on that track and push that ball forward and keep it rolling and staying true to the spirit of truth.
Right. So you're saying you're saying I know exactly what you're saying. You're trying to practice what you preach. You're trying to You're trying to live what you preach. You know.
Exactly.
Right, you're trying to, you know, live with the preach, you know.
Walking like we're talking. And
there you go.
So the street preachers, like, so I was cruising on the internet, and some of these media sites that everybody goes to, I won't say it, but what happens in Canada, I don't know if you're following free speech in Canada. There's some really exciting street preachers. There's one guy by the name of Dore Love, and there's also David Lynn, two separate ministries out of Vancouver. And actually, David Lynn is they are apostolic preachers, so they preach the Church of God and Christ crucified, and they're out of Canada. So anything that happens up there with free speech is sure to happen, may happen down here. So just watching the culture to our neighbors to the north is really interesting. David Lynn, he gets around the United States as well and Europe. And he's out there baptizing people, and his ministry is incredible. And everywhere he goes, he's treated well. But also everywhere he goes, he's really touching the nerve of the LGBTQ agenda, and really addressing sin. Everybody wants to feel so special about their sin. It's just sin, people, you know. Mm-hmm. So those folks are really amazing.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So, okay, everyone, if you're just listening, you could be listening on Blog Talk Radio. You could be listening. Let me ask one thing, Mark. Are you on LinkedIn too?
I am on LinkedIn.
I find you on there. I find you on LinkedIn. And I'm going to put the episode
Yancy.
On Mark.
Yeah.
Dot Yancy.
I think it's, yeah, then Mark.Yancy at Outlook or Mark.Yancy
okay.
at AOL.
Oh, okay, Mark. Okay. Okay. I'm going to put the episode on Facebook. I'm going to play it back. That way, if people missed it, they can always go back and hear it. You know, they can always go
yeah.
back and hear it, and they can always replay it. Because it plays every day at Blog Talk Radio. I'm going to put it on LinkedIn, and I'm going to put it on Facebook. And
okay. Are you still recording, sir?
Yeah, I am. I'm still recording. Yeah.
Oh,
what I want to say. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to – I can't let you get out of here without dropping Vody Bakum. I don't know if anybody's ever heard of Vody Bakum. R.C. Sproul and John MacArthur. These three folks, these three preachers have been super influential as well, too. So just John MacArthur, R.C. Sproul, and Vody Bakum. If you ever get a chance, if you're listening, to check those folks out on do a quick search, and you can bring up their videos and some of their discussions. They are biblically sound. I also really super enjoy Geno Jennings. Oh, love that man out of Philadelphia. I just wanted to get those out there, and I could probably sit here and name drop all day, but that was all I wanted to say, I guess.
We appreciate you mentioning those names. Before I do get out of here, And it'll be very short. It'll be very shortly. Like I mentioned to you earlier, I didn't want to just throw it on you. Now, if that was just like our life, we were like sometimes we went down the wrong road. Now, just say if you knew a kid, youngster, and he was going down the wrong road, what advice would you give this youth or whatever, youngster, what advice would you give him after traveling down the wrong road to straighten up his life?
I would say that I have to use the Bible. It says, seek the Lord with your whole heart and lean not on your own understanding. That's it.
That's right.
And your whole
right.
heart.
And always acknowledge God, he will direct your pathway.
Amen. And then, like, if you're really having a hard time, I would ask the young person, I would say, have you made him Lord of your life? Do you understand what that means? Do you understand what your purpose is in life? Do you understand who God is? Who is he? And why you're here? And do you know what sin is? And then I would start there. And so programming, what we put into our bodies affects how our bodies look and feel and how we feel. The same thing with our programming of our mind, what we put into our memory banks, the music that we listen to, especially with the music that we listen to in this day and age. I make comments in public. Folks are driving around worshiping the prince of the god of the air and don't even know it because they got one foot in the world and one foot in the popular culture. And Jesus will spit you out. You can't be lukewarm. So guys like Dore Love, and they even make, there's all kinds of positive Christian music and positive Christian messages and organizations to get involved with. So you got to change your people, places, and things and your thoughts and your spiritual food, and your life will get better. But you got to want it. And if the person doesn't want it, then it can't happen.
There you go. You got to change your people, your places, and your things, and you got to want it. Like Mark say, you got to want it yourself, because God can't help you if it has to start with you. He can't
Amen.
Not help you with your mind are not ready. You know, and what the Bible says that with two or more people, see, God is not hard to find. It's not hard to find. He
exactly.
said, when two or more people are gathered together in my name, there I am also Mr.
And
Dan.
What people don't understand is the love of God and the grace of God. And I like this one. Like, when you make the decision to make one step towards Christ, he comes running at you full force with a ring and a robe, ready to bring you back into the fold. And once you are in Christ Jesus, he will not let you go. When it's a true conversion,
that's
right. when you are truly born again, you don't want nothing else but Jesus. That's how you know. You won't be able to shut up about the Lord. That's how you know. You know,
a
mind for him, a heart for him, it will be evident. And you cannot fake that. You can fake lip service all day long. And you know what? You're still going to sin. You're still a sinful person. But the difference is you know how to, you know who to deal with it. You know who to get. You know who to call on. And
right.
Hallelujah, we have a Christ. Hallelujah, we have Jesus. Hallelujah. Like,
That's right.
It's been
a
pleasure to talk with you today, Larry. I am so excited and rejuvenated by our conversation. I appreciate this time spent with you today, sir. I just want to say
thank you. I feel pretty good myself. I feel the Holy Spirit here myself, you know. And like Mark was saying earlier, you have to make the first step. See, faith, the Bible says faith without works dead. See, that means that if you you got faith, but you don't have work. You got faith, but like Mark said, you can't put in the first footstep. You know, like Mark said, when you put in that first footstep, you'll see how God helps, you know. And I would like to say this here before I do leave. God, don't give up on God. You don't, whatever you're going through in your life, don't give up on God. Don't give up on him, because if you give up on God, then who other trust you got? The devil. See, no matter how it goes, never give up on God. See, God, your problem is harder than you think it is. I don't care what happens. You say God does nothing in your life. Well, just like you need time. God, he need time to work that out. And he needs time to work that. And he's trying you. You pray for something, you give up. Well, guess what you just did? You just gave up on the Lord. You just gave up. You can't give up.
Exactly.
No matter. Right.
Right when it gets its hardest, right when it gets so hard, that's when breakthrough is about to happen.
There you go.
So when it gets hard,
there you go.
Ask for the strength to keep going, and then he'll give you that strength. Jesus said,
right.
You have not because you ask not. Ask, seek, knock. Yes.
Right.
Amen,
right,
brother.
Right. Well, everyone, because I know some people today. I know some people that's sitting on drugs, bad, and my friends on it. I have a friend. I ask everybody to pray for. I have a friend living in a building, on fentanyl, just total uncharacteristic of them. I ask everyone to pray for my friends on fentanyl, and I have a lot of them on fentanyl. I don't use it. I don't use fentanyl, but my friends do, and I ask everyone to pray for them, you know. Pray for the God to deliver them, you know. And thank God for sending Mark to the show. Thank him for sending Mark to the show. And, it really made my day. Really made my day, you know. And Mark here is a wonderful guy.
It's my pleasure, Larry.
Yeah, and
I look forward to more interaction. Yeah, I'd love to be on again in the future and tell you, get you caught up with what's going on. I'm actually moving
here
back to the South after the fall. I'm going to go and help my mother. She's got the long goodbye happening right now, and like I said, and so. Hold your loved ones close. Pray for everybody endlessly. And just know that Jesus is coming. And Sunday was just here, but it's coming again.
That's right. Everyone today, we're getting ready to conclude the section on the Arthur Larry Tune Gospel radio show. We had Mark Yance, Kansas, Mississippi. Kansas, Missouri. Kansas, Missouri. And he had a powerful testimony today, you know, and like I say, we pray for the world. We pray for the coronavirus. We just pray for the entire world today. There's no, like Mom said, there's no money. There's no money for Jesus. There's no money you can do for him. If he bless you, then good. But don't, there's no price tag on Jesus. Put it that way. And I go to Mark, and if there's anything else, Mark, I'm really glad you came on the show.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity, and I just want to share the peace of the Lord with everybody who can hear my voice and let you know that I love you, that Jesus loves you, and it's going to be okay. It will be. Just stay in faith, and the world will turn.
All right. All right. With that being said, everyone, we, like I say, we all thank Mark for coming on today. Thank Mark for his pop. He's doing for God and the people and everyone. Like the Bible say, when two or more people gather together my name, I am also in the midst. You don't have to go running looking for. Go running looking for Jesus. He woke you up this morning. That was him who woke you up this morning.
Amen.
Oh, look at old devil. I just get you. He don't like Jesus. He warbled out in heaven, and he was cast. He was. The Bible says he hurled him out of heaven. He was hurled out of heaven when war broke out because he had iniquity in him. He didn't only wanted. He wanted to take over heaven. So that's let you know right there that he do not like God. I mean, he's jealous of God. He's jealous of him. So don't let him win whatever you do. Don't let him win. And never let if you disown God, then he will win. He will win if you turn your back on God, he will win. You know? And there's no Right.
Yeah, and I got a closing verse for you if you'd like.
I like.
And sure. At 1 Corinthians 2, I've got Paul talking to the church at Corinth. And so 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Get in tune with the Lord today. Get into the gospel. Get yourself into an audio Bible, a daily routine of reading the good word. And you'll watch things happen in your life you never expected. I promise you. The Lord loves you, and I love you too. Larry, thank you for your time today.
Okay, thank you, everyone. We have Mark W. Yancey live on the Arthur Larry Tunes Gospel Radio Show. We are running out of time today. And thank you, Mark, and thank everyone for tuning in. God bless you, and have a good day. Everyone, have a good day.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.